joyfully sit and hear God's word as we bring to you our dear, blessed elder sister Karen Liverman. Let's receive her with a hearty amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Oh, it's a privilege and a blessing to come before you today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Buckle up.
That's right.
Saddle up. We got a lot of ground to cover today. Please bow your head for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have the confidence that when we pray, you hear us, that you are our very own Father. We're your very own children. We've been blessed, hallelujah, to be members of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We're asking, Lord, that you might remember those that are yet on the way, each and every family that's represented here. Remember those in our World Wide Web audience, Lord. Hallelujah. Continue, Lord, to continue their hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continue, Lord, to help us all have a hunger and thirst to know who we are in Christ. Knowledge of you and your divine will and purpose and plan for our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That all that we may say and do may bring you glory and honor. Hallelujah. We're asking these prayers, Lord, that you might be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when you see me coming, you know where I'm coming from. I know my reader has already turned to it. Yes, I'm starting at Ephesians. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. And when I leave Ephesians, what do I follow up with? Colossians. Oh, yeah. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. You may say, Sister Karen, why are you anchored there? Well, God knows what's best, as any good father, and he knows you can't get enough of Ephesians, that you can't get enough of Colossians. Not if you're going to grow and leave the sightseeing alone. Not if you're going to be a vertical viewer, hallelujah, walking in the liberty and victory that we have in Jesus. Can't do it without Ephesians. You can't do without Colossians. So we're there, right there. Can you please read?
Thank God, yes.
Reading now from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning verse 3, first from the King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According, verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure,
hallelujah,
of his will. Now from the interlinear Greek text, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose, hallelujah, us in him before foundation of world to be or being us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
According to the good pleasure, of the will of him, not about us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, salvation is an eternal entity. And if you can't get things right about when you were saved, how you were saved, why you were saved, you're not going to get the rest of the stuff right either. You have to have the foundation of the security in that you are in Christ, that you didn't just get in Christ when you decided to get baptized, didn't just get in Christ when you gave the preacher your hand and God your heart. You didn't have anything to do with the eternal workings of God where all the action is. You didn't have anything to do with that. Eternity is the real. Eternity is the actualization of God's decree. One decree. God is not in heaven making daily decisions. Our lives are completed in Christ in God according to the will of God, which was consummated in his eternal workings. Eternity is where we are right now, sitting together with Christ in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. We haven't, our consciousness haven't caught up and we haven't been glorified, but it's already completed and done. Now, if you can go with the eternal view, that vertical viewing, then the horizontal living is going to be a lot easier.
Amen.
You'll be able to walk in the peace of God that passes all understanding because you're not going to be a sightseer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you now move to a Colossians, please?
Well,
Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10.
Now, we're reading from Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, first from the King James Version. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, from the interlinear Greek text. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him, having been filled.
Hallelujah.
Who is the head of all rule and authority.
Amen. You know, if you can get this, and we're going to reference also Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, where it says, if ye then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the earth, because you are dead and your life is hidden in Christ in God. Your life is completed in him who is rule over all principalities and powers and mights and dominions. And we're going to go into that a little later as well. Well, today we are going to be looking into a document. It is called Abiding in Eternal Confidence Beyond the Course of This World.
Amen.
You know, as I was flipping through some of my documents to prepare for this week, all kinds of things started unfolding on the world view. All kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. And it causes a lot of people to be in turmoil. It has caused a lot of people uncertainty.
Right.
I want to help you to put your mind at ease.
Right.
I want to reconfirm to you the fact that God is in complete control.
Yeah.
I want to help you to vertical view on the world events.
Right.
Not so that you'll be scratching at night worrying about your 401. Yeah. Not so that you can be wondering what's going on in Scotland on the golf course.
Jesus.
Yeah. I want you to understand that all things are according to God.
Wow.
That includes those that manifest that we see and those that are coming.
All
things are according to him. He says in his scriptures that he doesn't want you to be anxious for anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about that. The document starts, the concept of confidence is exhibited in assurance of its source, consciously enduring in existence. Specifically, This presence eliminates factors of the unknown for the threats and challenges such might convey. Conversely, it is uncertainty of not knowing whether, why, or what will transpire and transport that is the menacing irony that prescribes happy and peace in the world. Yet, the very nature of physicality induces anxiety. Yes. In the present temporary and ultimate termination, anticipatory of the future. Eternality in scripturality is the lone venue. I'll say it again. Eternality in scripturality is the lone venue where such concerns are irrelevant due to its characterization in completion of everything. What are we looking at here? We're going back to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, where your life is completed in Christ. Hallelujah. Where all things are already done. Everything is completed. Thus, challenging concerns are negated in the spiritual sphere as to how things may turn out. You know, you don't have to worry about how things turned out because they already have turned out. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. It's already turned out. You know, we in America, we're looking at an election cycle like we've never seen in history. But you know, that's already turned out too. And whoever gets in, guess what? That's God's man. Or God's woman. God's woman. Yeah. Could be God's woman. Yeah. But it's already done. Already done. No need of you worrying about your health insurance and whether or not it's going to be canceled. No need of worrying about your job or whether or not it's going to go to China or India or whether or not it's coming back, some more coming back to America. That's already completed in God's eternal working. You know, if you can think of the fact that our lives are completed in Christ in God and everything is already done, having done, been done and completed in God's eternal working, you can understand the value of the lesson we learned from Mother Goodloe. Sitting there in that operating room, getting ready to go in, and cool as a cucumber. All the monitoring was just blood pressure good, heartbeat good, everything. Pastor said, well, Mother, you awfully cool and collected. She said, Pastor, didn't you teach us that it's already done? He said, well, yeah. She said, well, why should I be sitting here worrying about something that's already done? Yeah, then she started giving me instructions about what to buy for dinner and all this other kind of stuff. You know, she had no concern. And even when she went on to be with the Lord, my aunt and I was there, and auntie didn't really want to look at her countenance. And when they pulled all the machines off, they cut everything off, she had a smile. Oh, my God. She had the confidence of knowing that everything was completed in Christ in God. And you know what? If you have that confidence, you can turn your light off. You can stop pacing and scratching and worrying and feeding into the fear mongers. You will have power realizing that God is in control and that he's on your side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. 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 Consciousness in this realm is the dominating insight that solidifies the guaranteed assertion, even as the resonation locale in manifestation resides conversely in the opposing realm of the physical sphere. I made a few notes on that. What we see is not always what we get. Did you all know that? Do you know the worst testimony is eyewitness testimony? Because you and I can be looking at the same event and have different interpretations. What you see is not always what you get. You cannot always believe your eyes. Yeah, you can't believe it. You know, I told you, we were on the boat, the magician came, and I was watching intensely. And he put one coin in my husband's hand, and then when my husband opened hand, it was four. Now, how did that happen? Huh? The illusion. And your free will is the same type of illusion. The fact that you are naming and claiming and that you are directing things. It's an illusion, just like that trick on that boat with those coins. It's an illusion. Not knowing whether, why, or what will transpire and transport, that's the menacing irony that prescribes happy and peace. We're happy if things are going our way, God's on our side. We're sad if things don't go our way, the devil's in charge. Yeah, we go topsy-turvy, like on a teeter-totter, like children. Yeah, and we want to free you from that. How do we do that? Well, when I was a kid, we used to sing a song. If you read your Bible and pray every day, you will grow, grow, grow. And those of us that work with children, we sing that little song even now. If you read your Bible, pray every day, you will grow, grow, grow. Yeah. And do you know that's a good prescription for us as adults? When we talk about reading the Bible, what are we talking about? We're talking about the 14 epistles of Paul. We're talking about you reading your mail. Yeah, we're talking about you growing in the knowledge of the grace of God and who you are in Christ. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, so you need to stay in your mail. Read the 14 epistles of Paul, the letters written to the body of Christ, where you will find your liberty and you will find your peace. Then we talk about praying. Oh my God, people don't understand praying. Yeah, yeah, but we are to pray according to the will of God. That's what the old people always said. And I wondered, what was their secret? They would pray and they said, baby, turn the light off. It's already done. See, some of them were 80 and 90. Mother Rogers, I hung out with her. She was 95 years old. She had been walking with the Lord a long time and realized that God was in control.
Control.
Yeah, complete control. And that he never slumbers or sleep. See, now if God is up, well, we got to stay up. You can turn, ain't no need everybody being up. Turn your light off. Trust in the Lord. You know, Proverbs said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Because he is directing your path. He already has directed your path. Hallelujah. It's already done. Reader, can you read Romans 8:26? And we're going to talk a little bit about our helper in prayer. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we get all caught up wondering whether or not we're praying right. Whether or not we're using the right formula. Whether or not we've asked for forgiveness, or whether or not we can hold on in our heart. And we can just go on and on at the menaces that come against us when we decide to pray. And then we get confused because we think, maybe we, see that synergistic thing come in. What is synergism? That's the belief that we are partnering with God. Somehow we co-piloting with God. Somehow we can name and claim it, and God is a genie. We rub the little Bible lamp, and he goes about and does what we want him to do. Yeah, but that's not true. That ain't how this thing go. If you are eternal viewing, vertically viewing, you understand that your life is hidden in Christ and God, and it's already done. There are no coincidences and accidents. Whatever appears and what already was there actualized in God's eternal plan to manifest. It came because he sent it. Whatever it is, the good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. This takes away the uncertainty that we walk in of the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. If I had turned left, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. If I'd gotten up earlier, if I, realizing it's not about you, it is all about him. Okay, can you read, please? Both. Oh, yeah, we want both.
Now we're reading from the book of Romans. Chapter 8, verse 26, first from the King James Version. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, from the Interlinear Greek text. And similarly, also the Spirit takes share in the weakness of us.
Mm-hmm.
For what we may pray as it behooves we know not.
Hallelujah.
But himself, the Spirit, supplicates on behalf with groanings unutterable.
Did you get that? You don't even know what to pray for. That's why God sent the Holy Spirit, who is our intercessor to the Father. He takes our prayers and filters them and presents them perfectly aligned to the will of God. So you can't miss. You can't miss. Amen. You are always successful in praying. That's why the scripture says he always causes us to triumph. The Holy Spirit is the guarantor of that. Hallelujah. Your prayers are perfectly aligned with the will of God, and your walk is the walk that God has prescribed for you. Right. Preset. It's preset. And while we're here, I want you to turn to Philippians 4 and 6. We're going to kind of connect those two together. Yeah. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmity, because we don't even know what to ask for. And why is that? That's because our lives are hidden in Christ with God. They're already completed. We can't see the completed work. We can't see past one breath to the next breath.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Not past one breath to the next breath. You know, one of my favorite, I like cowboy movies. You know, I was raised on Westerns. And there's one of the movies, one of my favorite ones, is called Hidalgo. And it's about a painted horse and Native Americans and so on and so on. And I love it. And at the beginning, he meets this big sheik. He goes to this big race over in the Middle East, the 3,000-mile race. And the sheik would not shake his hand because he said he was different religion and persuasion. He said, I can't shake the hand of an infidel, somebody who's not a believer. So he kind of, you know, knew that was culture thing. He let it go. But at the end, after he'd won this great race, he said, well, the sheik extended his hand. He said, well, what about your powers? You know, you said that if you shook the hand of infidel, you lose your powers of to tell the future. He said, if I knew the future, I'd have bet on that painted horse of yours that won the race. Yeah, but because he didn't know the future. Yeah, he didn't know. And you know what? You don't know either. That's why we have to walk by faith. How many times have you been in a situation where you thought something was a sure thing, that it was going to turn out a certain way, and that thing switched around at the last minute, and you couldn't believe it? That's because we do not know. We all walk by faith. Everything that manifests is according to the will of God. Can you please read Philippians?
Now, now we're reading from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, first from the King James Version. Be careful for nothing.
Amen.
But in everything.
Amen.
By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now, Philippians 4, 6 from the Interlinear Greek text. Nothing be ye anxious about.
Amen.
But in everything, by prayer and by petition with thanksgivings, the requests of you let be made known in God.
Amen. He says nothing. That covers everything. Nothing covers everything. Everything with thanksgiving. That's why most of my praying is, Lord, I thank you for your will concerning Pam. Lord, I thank you for your will concerning the Grace Gospel Church. Lord, I thank you for your will concerning, and I just go on and on and on. And that's praying for me. I'm thanking God for his will. Because guess what? His will is already done. So I'm thankful for what's already done. What has not been revealed, but I know it already is. Because whatever is, already is. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Now, y'all missed a place to shout, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Hallelujah. God is in complete control. The conflicts and turmoil currently experienced in secularity are principal encounters that prescribe confidence in physicality because such abides beyond secular sensory perceptions. It is solely through scriptural enlightenment that eternal confidence abides in spirituality. I'll read that again. It is solely, only through scriptural enlightenment, knowing the will, knowing knowledge of him and his workings, that eternal confidence abides in spirituality. You know, we confuse spirituality with physicality. We think that we go to service and we feel the move of God. And we think that's spiritual. If it is physical, it is not spiritual. Spirituality is invisible and eternal, never changes. The stuff we call spirituality is physicality, and it's earthy, and it's sensual, and it's temporary. That good feeling you had when the drums was going boom, 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 and y'all start shouting, yeah. Don't worry, the devil's waiting on you outside. All that's gonna disappear. Oh yeah, I ain't lasting. That is, if the rain is out, it's a bad day. If the sun is shining, I'm gonna have a good day. That's all temporary, and it's subject to change. Spirituality, based on the word of God, the scriptures, never changes. It abides forever. And that's where you want to hang your hat. Not on the bump, da-da-dum, 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 da-da-dum. Woo, I'm having a good time. Yeah, just wait till the devil gets you. He waiting. Yeah, that's temporary. Throughout human history, the course of the world has been hostile to the principle that confidence facilitates an abiding security. And where is our security? In Christ. Got to go back to Christ when you start talking about security. Got to go back to Christ when you talk about peace. Got to go back to Christ when you talk about eternal knowledge. Substantiation of uncontested peace is necessarily focused beyond the physical environment. 1 John 5:19 states, "And we know we are of God, and the whole world lies in the lap of the wicked one." This verse conveys that the world is under assigned control of opposition to tranquility. It came to pass. And where did it come from? Came from God. It was a sign. Amen. In other words, serenity and harmony are cosigned to represent to repression, while their opposite characterizations of expressions manifestly exercise self-centeredness. Such opposing extents appear to have brought the world under control by accommodating mankind's or humankind's selfish instincts to manifest his own free will. And we've already talked about the illusion of free will. It's just an illusion. There's no such thing as free will. Yeah, and people tell me all the time, well, you know, God, a man can make a choice. No, you can't. The choices have already been made, and they were made in eternity. It is solely through spiritual enlightenment that eternal confidence abides in spirituality. We can only have the peace which passes understanding as we walk by faith and not by sight. Such opposing extents appear to brought the world under control by accommodating humankind's selfish instincts or their own free will. No such thing. There's no co-piloting with God. There's that illusion of free will is like the slip of a hand of a magician. If we always think, if I take one step, God's going to do what? Take two. But that's basing it, if I do it. I'm in control. I'm in the driver's seat. I'm commanding God. Oh my God, doesn't that sound ridiculous? But don't we say those things? Don't we hear them all the time in community? If I speak the word only, the Holy Spirit will move. If I confess, if I give, it's going to be given. See, we always hang ourselves. And notice, we put ourselves up front too. Come on, Holy Ghost. Yeah, let me name it and claim it. But now, I'm saying it, and it sounds ridiculous. When your friends say it, and they sound real spiritual and holy, we listen to that stuff. And then it gets murked up, and we take our eyes off the word. Hallelujah. You do like Peter, took his eyes off Jesus. He started sinking. We want to keep our eyes on him. We want to keep our eyes on the word. We want to walk by faith and not by sight. We want to realize that it's already done and he's working it out for our good. Regardless of what happens, we know God's on our side and we win. He has made us more than conquerors. So let's start acting like it. Let's walk in the victory that was purchased for us through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stop believing what we see, which is just a temporary illusion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we can, you know, get away from that horizontal sightseeing thing. Going back to Colossians 2, your life is already completed in Christ. And your real life is your hidden life in Christ, in God. These illusions are impressionable when they are strictly focused on the earthly vantage point. We've already talked about that. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, it is cited that Satan even tried to bring Christ under his control by purportedly tempting Jesus' human vulnerability when he was tired and hungry. In this inferior vision, Satan tempted Jesus in three ways, each of them designed to allow Satan to gain control over him. In the transcendent testimony, Jesus rebuked Satan, but Satan continued to tempt Jesus through the Pharisees, through the Roman government, and etc. Throughout Christ's earthly ministry, he had that menace. He wasn't the only one that was menaced. Didn't Paul write, "I will send a thorn in the flesh"? And he prayed how many times? Three times he asked God to remove him. And what was God's response? My grace is sufficient for you. Do you know? For my strength is made what?
Perfect.
Perfect in what? Do you know? God's grace is sufficient for you. I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're in a tsunami. I don't care if you're in a tornado, a flood, a hurricane, or you have a hurricane on your job, or you have a tsunami in your home. God's grace is sufficient for you. Whatever comes, it comes because he brought it, and he brought it for his glory and for your good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is working a work in you. Kind of like that lady who said, oh, you know, I got this sinner husband. Oh my God, I'm a fast and pray until there's a change in my home. Yeah. After 3 days, she was fasting and praying. She fell in her heart. Lord said, eat. She said, well, Lord, oh, I don't know about this eating stuff because I'm waiting for a change in my home. He said, well, there is a change. You didn't change. You didn't stop nagging them. You didn't stop being mean. You didn't stop. You didn't change. Killing me. Do you know any time, and I've been married over 40 years, and there are many here that have been married longer than that. Do you know any time I go to the Lord about my husband, guess who he showed me? Me? Never talks to me about William. Always shows me and shines the light on me and what I'm doing. Can I change William? Absolutely not. And by the grace of God, I can only make some changes for myself. Yeah. You know, some of you guys don't want to listen to your wives. Don't want to listen to other counsel. No man is island. Yeah. We need in the counsel of many their safety. Yeah. So let's all look into the word together. Let's encourage each other with the word. Let's, when one is weak, let's tell them what the word says. Remind them who they are in Christ and what God has done for them and what he's brought us through already. All these things help us to not be sightseers, to not be moved by what we see, which is temporary and passing. All these things, as we look back in the word and we look back on what God has done for us in times past, will encourage us on this journey. Hallelujah. And we need that because you know what? Walking by faith is not natural. It is spiritual. It is eternal. And you have to purpose in your heart to follow God and pick up this Bible and to look into the glorious light of the liberty that we have in Christ. That is intentional. That's because, see, we are flesh. And the Bible says in the flesh, what? Dwell no good thing. So these things I'm telling you are things that you are going to have to purpose in your heart to follow and to do. In addition to the government coming against him throughout his ministry, in these views during various periods of time, the course of the world seemed unapproachable in the meaning for which Jesus manifestly came into it. The purpose for which Christ came, as revealed in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and that's a reference, is that since sin was committed in the realm of flesh and blood, Christ came into this realm to confront sin and to conquer it. In enlightened scriptural comprehension, Satan induced sin in the realm of humankind through deception of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Therefore, God sent Jesus Christ into humanity to manifestly eradicate sin in the realm. 1 John 3:8 conveys that Christ was manifest that he might destroy, having destroyed, having already done it, the works of the devil. Let's talk about that. When were the devil's works destroyed? In eternity, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. Satan didn't just make a decision to come. See, we all think, you know, Satan just appeared. Satan just decided. Satan did this and Satan did. Oh! Satan is a created being with an assignment, with a purpose that's outlined by God. You know, in my home, I have a lot of children, grandchildren. And so occasionally one of them will, they all grown, my kids all grown. And sometimes grown kids act like they want to be growner than you. Not in my house. Yeah. I'm the big dog carrying the big stick. Even with the grown ones. I had one, she's getting a little mouthy. You know, they want to get a little mouthy. I told her what her husband said. And I said, "Don't, you better check yourself. You better regroup. Who you think you talking to?" I said, "I'll get you right before your husband." The husband said, "Oh, I got something to do." Yeah, he exited. Yeah. And she regrouped and apologized. You know, God is carrying the big stick. Satan is no way. Satan is a created being with marching orders.
That's it.
He comes by God, for God, doing what God intended for him to do, and that alone. When God says enough, it's enough.
That's it.
Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. The morning is when God say it's enough. Yeah, so if you got challenges in your health, and we all do, realize when God say it's enough, it's enough. Yeah, and that even those things that appear evil and against us, God has a purpose even for them. Everything is according to purpose. Everything is according to God's will. And that's hard for us. That's hard for us. You know, it goes on to say that he intensely revealed when God resurrected Jesus from the dead, that God showed his might. Hallelujah. Humankind's sin necessitated Christ's death. Satan ventured to keep him in the grave, hoping to deflect Jesus from revealing what he had previously achieved in perpetuating the sinful nature in eternity. Let's talk about propitiation. What is it? One of them Asians. You know, we talk about Asians around here a lot. Propitiation. Jesus is our sin bearer and our sin substitute. Hallelujah. Propitiation. The fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all this was rolled over on Jesus. Hallelujah. He became our righteousness. Hallelujah. All those things that we needed to stand blameless, justification, righteousness, hallelujah, glorification, all these things came with a price. Could we pay it?
No.
No. They said, none is righteous. No, not one. None of you could do it. So he was our propitiation, our sin bearer, and our sin substitute. Hallelujah. And we need to go back to that. Hallelujah. The moment he arose from the grave in time, it forever reveals the sealed doom of Satan. Manifestly, Satan is occupying in borrowed time, awaiting judgment. Affirmatively, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 6 conveys that God sent Jesus to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the appearance of Jesus Christ. He appeared into the time-space material world to be a reflection of the Godhead, so that designated ones, that's you and me, the body of Christ, manifestly dwelling in the confines of this world, could comprehend the Godhead who doesn't exist within humankind's framework of perspective. Do you know what's been revealed to you by the Holy Ghost is blindness to those that don't believe and are not caused to believe? It's through the foolishness of preaching that we came. Christ came that the body of Christ might reflect on God's actualized eternal workings on our behalf. If we could look at how he sent Jesus in the fullness of time, the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, that should encourage you regardless of what's going on in your life. That's why he came. Hallelujah. Since the philosophy of mankind operates on its personal worldview, and which is a microcosm, our worldview is small. We only know a little bit. Hallelujah. It is important to comprehend the scriptural view of secular life. In its originality, depraved humankind's principal environment is inwardly self-centered, which is separated from God and absolutely opposed to his control. In the Old Testament, this is documented in God's dealing with Israel, as stated in Jeremiah 22:21. I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not hear. This has been your manner from your youth, that you have not obeyed my voice. So us being stiff-willed, us wanting our own way, us remaining children having tantrums is not new. That's who we are as humans. Amen, amen, amen. And that's what he's talking about. Humankind's cosine oppositional trait is traced back to Satan's deception in influencing Adam to turn from God and instead exercise his own selfish desires. In Genesis 3:6, this selfishness is well evidenced in the version of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as prohibited by God from eating, to be good for the food, lust of the flesh, which is palatable to human sinful nature, pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and desire to make one wise, pride of life. All our descriptions of revealed sin, not only for some, but for all. It ain't just them that's in you. Amen. You know what we like to do? Oh my, Sister Jewel, she ain't got it together. Whatever Sister Jewel ain't got together, I got it in a different form. But I can't see the beam in my eye for looking at the mold in hers. Isn't that kind of how it is? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I got a boy. You got a boy. Your boy do something bad, and you ain't doing nothing with him. He ain't been raised. My boy do the same thing, and he just being a boy. Yeah, yeah. Isn't that how we do? That's what he's saying here. And we reference Romans 5:12, which states that all have sinned. All have sinned. Ephesians 6:12 specifically states, for our struggle isn't against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This reference is in the time-space material world as it resides in awe of the evil forces in imitation spirituality. Conventionally, the invisibleness of these oppositional powers is linked or referred to the struggle because of evil traits in the world. Yet their role are foreign to predetermined, realized, and consistent harmony in eternality. Therefore, such powers are united characterizations of the dreadfully reverse oppositions of perfection in all things, having been reconciled in the essence of Christ. And we reference Colossians 1:20-22. Wow. Hallelujah. In conclusion, viewing life from the vertical plane of our sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to our daily lives. Saints, walk by faith and not by sight. Amen.